63,000 students at the University of Nottingham. They know what this means.
This is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
Ball 25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday Sports Show, your home of local Nottingham sports news. I'm your host, James Perkins, and I'm joined by panellists Joe Tanner, Jeremy Dunn and Will Perkins. On today's show, we'll be chatting Nottingham Forest and Notts County.
Yeah, although we had a lot of the ball on Tuesday night, I think the first shot on target comes in the 63rd minute. That's not good enough for us. And you're not going to score goals if you don't put the keeper under pressure or try and make him to make saves.
We'll be bringing you your weekly Bucks roundup.
It was a successful week in Bucks for the University of Nottingham with 48 victories in our 81 fixtures.
And we'll also be bringing you your latest Panthers action.
Those recent results leave the Panthers third in the Elite Ice Hockey League with 8 games played, 2 defeats, 6 wins and 12 points on the board, 4 behind Manchester Storm in first position.
But first, we are joined live in the studio by Danny Edwards, the president of the futsal team, and Rob Symes, a class player for the futsal team, I might add, as well. How's it going, guys?
Hello, how you doing? Yeah, good, thank you.
I'm good.
Yeah, good to have you here, guys. Just to start, quite basically, it's a question that I'm sure you're asked quite a lot. You know, futsal, how is it different to football for people who might not know?
Yeah, it's something we get asked quite a lot. Futsal is basically the formalised version of five-a-side football. So it's played on a smaller pitch, smaller, heavier ball, and it's just a lot more about skill rather than power.
And it's a new sport, like in this country especially, isn't it? And it's a new club at the University of Nottingham.
Yeah,
6
so
years, 7 years.
Yeah, the club's entering its 6th year now, set up by founder Daniel Slater, who's still here somehow. As a sport overall, yeah, it's only sort of 50 years old, invented in Brazil, and it's only becoming big in this country really in the last few years.
It's really become big in Nottingham as well, because I think Trent, am I right, had a team before the University of Nottingham, or only a year before? Or they've certainly come into the fore at the same time, is that right?
Yeah, University of Nottingham and Trent are two of the strongest teams in the country, so Nottingham's really a hub for futsal at the moment.
Yeah, and we'll get on to Trent and Varsity in a bit. But there's so much about the futsal club, considering it's only 6 years old. It's been a Varsity sport for the last 3, attendances improving every year. And you do IMS Bucks, National League, Engage, and then the Nottingham Futsal League, is that right?
Yeah, all of those.
Right, we're going to have to talk about all of those. So I think the one that we normally talk about with sports teams, most sports teams that come in, they're all about Bucks. But that's only a small part for you guys. How's it going in Bucks this season so far?
Bucks has gone brilliantly so far. So we've only had one round of fixtures, but we're completely unbeaten. So Wands won their first game away at Lincoln 5-3. Twos beat UEA away 10-8, and the threes drew 7-0 to De Montfort.
And it was relatively similar last year when at the start of the season. You were unbeaten for a long time as well in Bucks.
Yeah,
you?
We always seem to start the season quite well.
What happened at the end of the season?
Last season, well, the twos, threes and fours struggled a bit for the rest of the season, but this year it's looking like we're going to push on and maintain that form throughout the rest of the season, hopefully.
So it's four men's teams?
Four men's teams, three women's teams as well.
And are they all in Bucks, or is it just...
Yeah, that's all Bucks.
So seven teams into Bucks, which is pretty good if that was all you did as a sports team. But unfortunately, we're going to have four more things to go through. So IMS, I mean, I took part in an IMS fixture on Sunday. That's such a big part of you guys as a club as well. I imagine you have IMS officers, is that right?
Yeah, we've got two IMS officers, Joe and Tom. They look after that. It's a huge IMS setup. I think the aim was to have 16 teams playing this year, and yeah, it's a big part of what we do.
So 16 teams this year, but I assume it starts again in January. So there's still, if people were interested, there's still time to get involved for January. How might they go about doing that?
Yeah, definitely still time to get involved. If you're interested in IMS or Engage, just drop our Facebook page a message, University of Nottingham Futsal, and we'll direct you to the right people.
Right, now National League, that's the big one, because it's not strictly a university event, is it? Because there's clubs that aren't universities in the competition, is that right?
Yeah, so most of the clubs in the competition aren't universities, so we're competing against clubs that are coming from football teams or just coming from just setting themselves up. So there's a lot of very strong teams in the National League and Super League.
And you've played one game so far?
Played one game so far away at Liverpool, and we smashed them 11-2.
Difficult place to go away, isn't it, Liverpool?
Yeah.
didn't sound like it by the score. Who got on the score sheet there? Is it similar names to what we heard last year in Varsity?
New player we signed from Birmingham, Pavel. Tom Shack got seven. So.
Seven goals?
Seven goals.
Seven goals.
Now, because obviously futsal's different to football, as we've discussed, but 12 is still quite a convincing amount of goals in one game. You know, we've seen in the Varsity fixtures over the past 6-all, 6-5. We won't talk so much about the 6-5.
No.
So, yeah, seven goals is pretty impressive. So you've got a strong side coming up, a load of new players.
Yeah, we've got a lot of external players. So that's people who don't go to the university. A lot of people who've represented England at various age groups as well.
Yeah, I saw a good few of you came in at under 21 level last year.
Yeah,
right?
Under 23. There's under a 23. Few of us. And we signed a new goalkeeper who plays for Partially Sighted and England, as well as he trains with the first team of England as well. So
in terms of, you know, the futsal scope of the country, is Nottingham or the University of Nottingham really up there in terms of, like, you know, it's top division, isn't it?
Second highest division in the country. Yeah. The aim is to win the league, which currently we're on track for, and then hopefully next year we'll be in the Super League, which is the highest league in the country.
It's your first home game of the season. Who's it against? How can people watch? What do you expect from it?
So it's against Atletico Birmingham, who also won their opening game, 8-2, against Birmingham Tigers. So they're looking like they're going to be a strong team. It is at 6:30 at David Ross on Sunday the 19th of November. Free entry, so we're aiming to get a couple of hundred people down. It's going to be a big spectacle, very high quality game, so make sure you get down and get involved.
I went to a couple of fixtures last year, and it's an incredible standard. So yeah, if you want to get down there, I'm sure it's all available on the brand new UN Futsal website as well. I've seen
brand new website,
unfutsal.com. a lot of information on there, a lot of player profiles, making our job of research a lot easier. Before we move on to Varsity, you've mentioned the games at David Ross. New facility last year, played Varsity there for the first time last year as well. How is that for you as a club? How much has it changed how you are as a club?
It's brilliant. It's such an improvement on the old facilities. The courts are brilliant. We have access to the high performance zone, the hydrotherapy pool, the physio there. It's really helped us push on as a club this year.
Yeah, and so it was Varsity last year at David Ross. However, I've been hearing murmurings for a good couple of years, whether you can keep stum on this or tell us something, about possibly in the future, Motorpoint Arena.
It is something that is potentially in the wings at some point in the future. For this year's Varsity, it's still all up in the air. The aim is still, from our point of view, to make it the biggest domestic futsal fixture in the country. The record currently stands at around 1,000, and we reckon we can top it.
It was close last year, wasn't it? What was the attendance last year?
Last year it was about 600, 700. But that we reached our limit, so reckon we can push above it.
So it was capacity then, last year? So how are we going to get to 1,000 then, if it's already capacity at 700?
Hopefully, we'll be allowed to increase our capacity this year.
Time for your Bucks roundup now.
It was a successful week in Bucks for the University of Nottingham with 48 victories in our 81 fixtures.
Several teams celebrated perfect weeks, including badminton, who won all seven of their matches. Netball, rugby union and water polo also had flawless records.
Conversely, fencing and rugby league lost their only fixtures, and volleyball picked up just one win from their six.
Meanwhile, a notable 7-0 thumping of Trent's seconds by our women's thirds in the hockey was the highlight of a mixed week for the club. The rugby union women's firsts also impressed against Trent with a comprehensive 44-5 victory.
Overall, though, a 59% win ratio wasn't enough to prevent a slip into second place in the Bucks League, just 1 point behind top of the table Durham.
That's all for this week's Bucks Roundup. We'll be back next Thursday.
Interesting week, because for the first time I think I can remember certainly in a long time, we've had an above 50% win ratio. We've gone down in the table. Joe, what did you make of this week's fixtures?
I think it was a promising week of fixtures for the University of Nottingham across the board. I think 59% as a win ratio was around about the figure that the university was hitting sort of the midway part of last season, where you saw a lot of really good results, a lot of squad depth in terms of the results as well, with wins not just in the first or second teams of a lot of clubs, but, you know, resonating throughout both the men's and the women's sides in a lot of teams. So it's those sort of levels that we're hitting at this early stage in the season, which is really, really good to see. and very, very promising going forward.
Yeah, you're right, because with the strength in depth, we 3 years ago became the first Bucks 100 club, which is to submit 100 teams to Bucks. And we heard from Futsal, which is a very new sport, already submitting seven teams in Bucks for that. So, you know, there is a lot of strength in depth. And although we might not get the same win ratio as someone like Loughborough, because we have more teams, we do end up higher up in the table. Jeremy and Will, I'm just going to ask you what result really stood out for you in that group. Jeremy, if we want to go first, I mean, there's a lot of good team performances, but good club performances. What was your favourite team performance this week?
Well, I think, like we said there, the 7-0 win against Trent, that is always a nice one, which we do like to see, obviously, for the Green.
In the hockey.
For the hockey. Bad week for them overall. They did actually suffer quite a few losses, unfortunately, for them. And just sort of touching on briefly on another point, which I think we were just saying there, where we're saying, you know, why we might, you know, we've done so well, but we're still below, we're unfortunately below Durham, is quite a lot of our first teams, actually, this week, they have gone toe-to-toe with Durham. I mean, in the hockey, both the men's and women's first teams went up against them and unfortunately both lost. The same situation applies exactly with lacrosse. Their first and seconds both went against Durham, both lost. So it's a bit unfortunate. But I think that 7-0 win, whilst Trent at the moment are a fair bit behind us, it's good to see that we are already putting some distance between us, especially on the Bucks record. Might bode well, hopefully, then for Varsity if we've got that strength and depth against their lower against one of our stronger teams.
Yeah, Will, what stood out for you this week?
Well, I was just looking at the football results, and, you know, the majority tight games, winning the majority, but I'm just looking at the women's first 11 with an 8-0 win against Loughborough. I mean, that just stood out. I mean, not to take your... It's good mentality when you're not taking the foot off the gas when you go a few goals up and you push on for those extra goals and, you know, be ruthless, really.
Yeah, it was a Loughborough second 11 team, but that's, I guess good ruthlessness to really go for the jugular there. The women's first team traditionally doing very well in Bucks, always around the top two. Elsewhere with Loughborough games, what do we think we did against Loughborough this week? Because I don't think for a second Loughborough considers us rivals, but we certainly consider them. Will, did you see any other Loughborough games that stood out for you?
It's just the different sports. I'm looking at the list. It's just wins on the board, really. netball first, 47-31. It's a good victory. That's a good victory. It is against a second team as well, but you got to beat who you're up against, really.
Well, we haven't talked about table tennis at all, really, this week. even though they are an absolute staple of this show because they win every single time. But we haven't spoken to them just because they've lost one game, which shows how good they're doing at the moment. I mean, how do we possibly recover from that women's seconds defeat to Trent's firsts, Jeremy?
Well, I'm sure they'll be ready to turn it around, obviously. I mean, if you want one which will cheer us back up, I think when you look at how our men's fifths beat Trent's thirds, they played Trent away and they beat them 11-6. So, you know, swings and roundabouts were really between us and Trent, if you want. I mean, yes, granted, you know, okay, we could say one of our weaker teams lost to Trent's first team, but I mean, in all fairness, our second team should probably be winning. That's actually, like you said there, James, they really should be coming out on top. But it's a bit unfortunate for them, but I suppose you can allow a blip when the team's that good.
Well, again, we're also looking at this 15-2 victory from the ones and thinking, why wasn't that 17-0? You know, that's just how strong the table tennis team are and how high our expectations are of them. A team that have done particularly well this week, we mentioned it earlier, badminton. Most wins of any club, 7 from 7. Joe, what do you make of that?
Yeah, badminton have had a fantastic start to the season, really building on the progress that they made throughout the 16-17 campaign. I mean, they've only dropped 4 points in a possible 7 fixtures this week, which is absolutely phenomenal. 5 8-0 victories, 2 6-2 wins. The second team are top of their league in the men's division. The women's first are also top of their division and have claimed a 9 points out of 9 so far this season as well, which is absolutely phenomenal. They've only conceded 6 themselves in 3 games, which for badminton is a really, really wonderful record to keep at such an early stage in the campaign. And that for them, for the men's first, made up for a 5-3 defeat to Loughborough on the opening weekend, opening Wednesday of the season as well, which was unfortunate for them, but they definitely are bouncing back, and no doubt the coach Martin Lewis will be very, very pleased with how the season's gone so far, because he said, I recall him saying last year at the Bucks Nationals that the women's side of things was really under control, that Ellen Liddell and the 4 teams and that were really, really pushing on this season, but it was the men's that were needing to kind of pick up the slack a little bit, but they appear to be making progress, especially with the second team, who are top of their league.
Additionally to badminton, netball and rugby union also unbeaten, as will water polo, but just 2 fixtures a team that might have passed through the radar. Golf. Just the one win from three, but that was one win from three from Golf. Incredible scenes. Golf traditionally strugglers in Bucks. I don't think they... Did they win a fixture last year? But maybe this is a turning point. What do we think, everyone? Is Golf finally going to turn it around? We're going to start telling of their incredible form of the mixed twos.
Oh, we can hope so. We can hope so. This might be the team that can finally spur them on. I mean, they did well in varsity, obviously. They did win their game eventually in that match. But, I mean, yeah, Golf do often seem to be one of those teams that do... don't unfortunately quite pull up to the high standards, I think, of a loss of the team. Maybe it's good to see that now, if one of the teams is starting to... And it was a home win as well. We can't, you know, knock that from. They beat Oxford Brookes first.
Where do we play our home fixtures? Is that at Dunkirk?
I think it's at Beeston Golf Club, Beeston, I think. Golf, yeah. I think that's where we often go. I think that was where the varsity match was meant to be last year. But then the... I mean, a win against Oxford Brookes first, I think that's probably quite... I think they'll take that, to be fair. I mean, a 40 win for the seconds, it'll put a bit of shine on an otherwise bit of a grim week for them.
Before we round up, we'll just move back to football for a second, because maybe they've been marred by Badminton having a really strong week among other clubs. But they did only lose the one fixture of their seven. So that's pretty good going. But it was the men's ones to a team like Oxford Brookes, really we should be beating... I just don't know what's going wrong with the men's team. Over the last, say, 4 years, they've really not been hitting their stride. We've seen the futsal team coming in and doing so well, and they're basically going with the same pool of players. Why do we think that the men's ones haven't really got it worked out?
I'll tell you what, James, it's funny you bring up the men's ones in the football division, because... the phrase transitional gets bounded around a lot on the Thursday thoughts, yeah. Especially when it comes to local football and Nottingham Forest and Notts County. And I think the men's ones are in a very, very similar stage at the moment. You know, they've lost varsity 6 years in a row. They, of course, got relegated from Bucks Premier North last year.
Losing to Trent as well, am I right?
Losing to Trent on the last game of the season, which was, you know, quite a humiliating defeat on home soil, and they've lost their two opening games of the season as well. They've lost their coach, their director of football, Gary Charles, has left this season as well. So I think we're about to see some big sort of overhauls at the football club, definitely in terms of not just staff, but, you know, the way of recruitment, trials, all those sorts of things as well. So it'd be interesting to see if we can possibly get in on the show over the course of the year. Just to turn back to Bucks and maybe another team that didn't quite do so well this week, I'd like to pick up Men's Rugby League, their first team, who lost 56-0 to Leeds Beckett University.
Wow, I'd completely missed that.
Yeah, which was an unprecedented result, really, and they're actually finding life very, very difficult in Bucks Premier North, because they went up a division last year, and they've got the likes of Trent and Northumbria University in that league to compete with. Of course, Trent, they lost by quite a large margin of victory too in varsity, because mainly the fact that Trent have a lot of National League players. You know, they've got a big National League programme, so it was always going to be very, very difficult for them. But nonetheless, three defeats so far in three this season. We hope that the Rugby League First can improve on that.
Yeah, we certainly do. We'll wrap up there, but before we do, one final thing. We're just 1 point away from Durham at the top. We're ahead of Loughborough by over 100 points. Is this the year? Discuss.
I'm not going to jinx it. No way I'm going to jinx it. Because last week, I was reliving how we thought at the end of last year. We thought, actually, maybe this year we can really push Loughborough. And I only thought at the start of the season we had, we were a bit slow off the marks. Maybe that wasn't going to happen. But actually, you know, we are doing extremely well. And I definitely think that... I think the overall aim, which I think we said last week, Joe, was that we should be aiming to challenge Durham quite substantially. And we are doing, if we're only 1 point behind them, which is fantastic. But I don't know. I mean, Loughborough are one of those teams. When it gets around to the summer competitions, that's probably going to be where I think we'll struggle again. We always say it, but if we can rack up the points now, you never know.
Yeah, cricket always let us down, don't they, at the
sadly,
end?
Sadly, yes.
I was just going to touch on both of those points you just made. It gets to a stage in about March time when you see the University of Nottingham in third or pushing on to second, really, really doing well. I mean, we had, I think, around 12 or 14 teams at the Big Bucks Wednesday.
We were second
last
for
March.
A long period last year. Yeah,
so many teams at the Big Bucks Wednesday. Of course, Rugby League won their encounter. Hockey, men's hockey, were in the final. We do so well at that stage of the season in all these team sports, which we have such excellent strength and depth in, and that's proven week upon week with the Bucks results at the University of Nottingham. But like you guys just mentioned, it does come to those summer months, and with sports like cricket and I think athletics as well, we don't cater for that as much at this university as they do at perhaps Edinburgh or Bath or somewhere like that, who often make quite a late surge in the Bucks leaderboard. So, you know, there's that to be considered as well coming towards the end of the campaign when we're really pushing for third or second position.
Moving on to local professional sports teams, talking about the Nottingham Panthers. Joe Tanner brings you this update.
Since the 3-2 Challenge Cup defeat to Sheffield Steelers 12 days ago, the Nottingham Panthers have recorded three successive victories in the Elite Ice Hockey League. On the 14th of October, they set the score right against their local rivals Sheffield after the defeat a week previously. A 4-3 away win for the Panthers in South Yorkshire was followed by a 6-3 triumph over Belfast Giants at the Motorpoint Arena. Goals in that game came from Tim Billingsley, Evan Mosey, Brett Pellini, Mark Delago and Jan Suave, who netted for the home side. The Panthers were 4 up in that game after 16 minutes. Corey Nielsen's side also registered a 5-3 victory away at the Glasgow-based Brayhead Clan yesterday in the league. Coach Corey Nielsen praised his side's business-like performance that earned the 2 points. Those recent results leave the Panthers third in the Elite Ice Hockey League, with 8 games played, 2 defeats, 6 wins and 12 points on the board, 4 behind Manchester Storm in first position. Nielsen's team have 2 games in hand over Manchester. Next up, it's a home clash with Edinburgh Capitals on Saturday, followed by 3 other league games before they face ZSC Lions from Zurich in the Champions Hockey League on November the 7th.
Now, over the Trent to Notts County, where Joe was at the recent press conference.
This is URN Sport.
A couple of days removed, know you love watching your film. What are your reflections on Tuesday night now? What have you taken away from it?
We simply weren't good enough. Can't defend it. We didn't do what we do. We didn't go there and do the right things. For half an hour, as I said, we were comfortable. I thought they were there for the taking, but we didn't take them opportunities, and we spoke a lot about it over the last couple of days. And as I said, you know, it's not about telling these lads off or trying to force them to do things which we know they can't do. We're asking them to do the things what they've been doing, so it's all about that this weekend. It's all about getting back to what we've been doing it as much as we can, and keeping that pressure on. Although we had a lot of the ball on Tuesday night, I think the first shot on target comes in the 63rd minute. That's not good enough for us. And you're not going to score goals if you don't put the keeper under pressure or try and make him to make saves. So, for me, we're looking for a big improvement on Saturday, and I'm hoping that it's going to come, because the lads have been fantastic since Tuesday. They're all very disappointed. We watched the video yesterday. Trained really well today, and looking forward now to hopefully what's going to be a good weekend.
Carlisle away then, there's a team that struggled a little bit so far at home this season. Does that make them easier to play against or more dangerous to play against?
Well, dangerous, I think, because we're coming to we're second in the league. You know, the good thing about when you're a manager is that when you get the top of the league coming to your club, or you get them coming, or the first, and they've had a great season, you don't have to motivate your players, because they want to prove to everyone that they're better than them on the day. So what my lads have got to do now is start finding a way to get themselves motivated, because they know that they're going to be trying to do their best they can possibly do, because they're playing against a team who's been, you know, the second most consistent in the league thus far, if you like. So for me, it's about us. It's not about Carlisle on Saturday. It's about us going and doing the job what we need to do to make sure we come away with 3 points. And I feel if we do the job and they do what they've been doing majority of this season, and don't go away from, get completely the opposite of what we've seen on Tuesday, then I feel we've got a great chance of getting 3 points.
Just on the Carlisle game, obviously you had a great result
is
there.
Is that who we're playing? Yeah. Oh, fuck off.
Obviously you had a great result there last season against the same age. What was crucial for most? Obviously Carlisle's team has changed since then, but what was crucial to getting the result that day? So I remember it was a late goal, wasn't it, from
late goal from Atul, and I think we brought in we were quite comfortable, and then they made the a change, and he come on and he had that shot which you know, which adds in me now believe that he should have saved, and it wasn't to happen. But we stayed in the game. I thought they, you know, and Oki come back on. He was coming back from, I think, I don't know, it was just an injury or a suspension, and we brought Bowler on, and it just gave us a different dimension going forward because we needed to force a few things, and it worked.
Right, Richard, a couple of days removed now from Truro away. I wonder what the, I know you've been watching film on it and all that sort of stuff, what have been the takeaways from that?
Disappointment, really. We didn't really stick to what we've been doing over the previous games we played in the league. I think we went away from it, but the guy for showed us out on the video and told us what he thought, and I think we've all come to the conclusion that's what happened.
What is it in particular you've gone away from doing that got you on that good run?
Just everything, really. I mean, you know, the way we're defending and the way we're attacking, really, as a team. You know, we're not doing the things that we've done for most of the games. You know, getting the ball into areas where it's dangerous and hard for the oppositions to defend, really.
Your manager likes to make changes when it comes to midweek games. Some fans have said there's probably too many changes, but they didn't say that after Exeter, where it worked out so effectively. What is it like, though, being one of the players that stays in the team? You were in the team on the Saturday, you're in the team on the Tuesday, your chances are being in the team this Saturday as well. What's it like when you adjust to different teammates?
Yeah, it's fine. Obviously, if you stay in the team, then it's great for yourself. You know, you get more games in your belt and the stronger you feel. So, you know, it's great for me and the other players, but, you know, players are coming in and, as you said, the Exeter game and the Swindon game, is, you know, we've won and nobody says anything. You know, it's obvious when you lose games, people are going to start asking questions like you guys. So, yeah, the fans are, you know, they're welcome to what they say. You know, if we'd gone away and beat Crewe, then nobody would have said anything. You know, we haven't gone there, we haven't performed to the level we should have and that we, you know, we can do, and that's what happens then.
You've started the majority of matches this season alongside Sean Brisley in the centre of defence. How important has your defensive partnership been to County's previous run at the start of the season?
Yeah, he's, you know, Brisley's been brilliant since he's come in. Obviously, didn't join at the beginning of pre-season, but since he's come in, he's been fantastic. Obviously, we played the majority of games together. Felt we built a decent relationship on the pitch. And that can only help. Obviously, Elliot's come in and done well on occasions at centre half as well. So, you know, it's people, you know, fighting for places, and if you're not doing what you do, then, you know, it's other people to step in.
So that was the latest from the Notts County press conference, which Joe went down to. Joe, what were your thoughts from the press conference in terms of upcoming fixtures? Do you reckon it's a positive atmosphere?
I think it is a positive atmosphere, but one, especially from Kevin Nolan's point of view, with acknowledgement that their recent poor result against Crewe Alexandra, where, as he mentioned, the County didn't have a shot on target until the 65th minute, which wasn't good enough at any kind of point, especially considering their recent record 2-1 against Barnet this weekend, you know, and their good previous results against Forest Green and Exeter as well, despite the blip against Mansfield Town. So, be it on that basis, I think going into the next couple of games, they should have a positive outlook, rightfully so. He kept reiterating how it was unprecedented how County are where they are at the start of this season, second in the league, doing very, very well. So, yeah, there's no reason going into the game against Carlisle why they can't get a result.
Well, looking at previous results, I mean, we've touched on Crewe Alexandra, a very disappointing result. What have you made of County's performances so far this season, Will?
Well, I mean, the league table speaks itself, really. I mean, from the last few seasons, they've been bottom half, you know, not really challenging at all, to being second. And they're just 1 point off the top. It's great to see. I mean, they have, that is a blip against Crewe, but it's all about the bounce back ability of the team, really. And I think against Carlisle, Kevin Nolan, he's going to be expecting a much better performance, and I think that will happen.